Welcome to Finding the Faith with me, your host, Frida Donnelly, where we explore what matters. Whether it's traversing someone's faith journey, diving deeper into doctrine, or simply enjoying Christian fellowship, I aim to focus on the good and the beautiful to provide you with some respite from the world. If you'd like to join us live, check out Finding the Faith on Rumble every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. All the links are in the show notes down below. Please remember to rate and subscribe, and I'll see you on the other side. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Finding the Faith. Let me know in chat if you can see us or not. I truly hope you can, because we are here this evening to explore what matters. We'll be answering the question, is surrogacy a problem or is it a solution? And we'll be getting into the heart of the matter with two incredible women here tonight. We have Jess and we have Sam. How are you ladies doing?
Great. Hopefully we're live this time. Hopefully you guys have joined us. Thank you so much, Frida, for inviting us back again.
Yeah, excited to be here.
My pleasure. Yeah, you know what? We are here. We are doing our best. And thank you, ladies, and thank you, chat, for bearing with us. So some exciting things have happened since you ladies have been on the show last. We actually launched merch, and I got it in. It's super, super comfy. It's incredibly cute, and I can't wait to show you guys. Have merch if you guys want. There's a link in the description where you can pick up your own. Kyle and I have already been pretty much daily wearing ours because we got a couple of really comfy pieces. He also got a sweatshirt and it's so, so soft. So I know a big thing when I asked you guys about merch was, what do you want to see? And you were just like, soft, give me soft. So I made sure of that. But one thing that you guys can do for me to support the show, whether you decide to pick up some merch or not, is to like the stream. You saw what I had to go through to get here tonight. If you don't like the stream, well, like, that's just rude. And I know you guys aren't rude, so like it right now.
Do it.
Okay, anyways.
One of the things I learned in my short podcasting time was that there's always something going wrong when you have something important to talk about. And we clearly have something really important to talk about tonight, which is why the devil was after us, trying to sabotage the stream. But you didn't let it happen.
That's right. Not today, Satan.
That's right.
Oh, so let's get into the important thing that we have to talk about. What is surrogacy?
So surrogacy is the process of one woman developing, growing, and then delivering a child for another couple or another person. And so usually it splits the role of mother into three. So there's a bio mother, there's a birth mother, and then there's usually a caretaker mother. Sometimes the mother is two of those things out of three. Sometimes it's one of those things. One time it's, you know, it just depends on the situation. But that's the general gist. And there's a lot of different types of surrogacy that we can get into.
Right. Just to kind of bring that home to the stark reality of what's going on in surrogacy. It's not just heterosexual couples that can choose this. This is a big way homosexual couples can have children biologically, so to speak. They can use one of the partner's genetic material with the surrogate or with another biological mother they choose, and they're very much literally renting the body of a woman to create a child using IVF. And if you guys weren't around for our last panel to learn about IVF and all that goes into it, I strongly recommend, after you watch this, go back and check that out, because that will give you so much context as to why this practice is so horrific.
Absolutely. That was such an incredible experience getting to do that with both of you. And we also had Emily Zanotti, who unfortunately wasn't able to make it tonight because she had a migraine. So if you guys in chat could pray for her, I'd really appreciate it. We also had Katie Faust as well, which was really, really great. And that gives a lot of context. Now, surrogacy, a huge part of surrogacy is the IVF, you know, kind of portion of it. But what is kind of the difference, would you guys say?
So with IVF, you don't need to rent another person's womb. Generally, it just depends on the situation. But most of the time with IVF, it's, you know, you have problems conceiving the child, creating an embryo. And so they make the embryo in the lab and then they put it in your own womb and you are able to grow the child and deliver the child. And so it, and in those cases, you also have, again, that's the broad idea, but you also have a lot of individualized situations. So sometimes you have to find a different biological father because your husband isn't able to provide what he needs. And sometimes you have to find a different biological mother because you don't have what you need. So they create the embryo in the lab one way or another, and then you grow the child. With surrogacy, it usually means you're unable for one reason or another to grow the child in your body. And so you rent out the womb of somebody else who is able to. And so that's usually the big difference.
Well said. Yeah. So it's kind of like a square, rectangle, rectangle, square situation. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I guess in both cases, you still are dealing with a contract. You're still, buying a child, selling a child, someone else selling a child. You still have a lot of the same similar, because with surrogacy, I think 99% of the time you go through IVF. So that's why they're so linked together. And that's why that conversation usually, flows well together. But with surrogacy, you specifically like are splitting that mother role into three. And I think that's what makes the biggest difference. So.
And I think that that's one of the two of like the main ethical issues is that you're not, you know, like you're purposely creating a child to leave its biological mother who it's, you know, been with for 9 months so that you can fulfill your selfish desire as an adult.
Right. This is very different from like newborn adoption. When you adopt a newborn, that mother wouldn't have been able to care for her newborn child and for one reason or another. That's often why their children are put up for adoption. Here, the child is being created with the intent purpose of giving that, of removing that child from their biological mother to give them to somebody else.
Exactly. Like with adoption, you're purposely, you know, you're seeing a really hard situation and you're giving both the mother and the child hope. The mother hope that her little one will be taken care of and loved, and the little one a life in providing for them and protecting them and having, you know, of course, it's not great that that situation was, you know, in the first place where the mom can't be with the child. But at the end of the day, you're giving hope to a really hard situation that does require healing, and you're showing up and you're providing that healing.
Right.
Yeah. Another big difference between, Go ahead. Well, I was going to say another big difference between adoption and surrogacy would be the child that is being exchanged with surrogacy. You are specifically buying that child from the mother. You are paying that mom directly for what she contributes. You pay a father directly for what they contribute. Men make money, you know, they provide their biology, you know, women will provide their biology, and those individuals are being paid to help you create this child and to give their biological child to you versus adoption, where the person who's giving their child up for adoption, they're not being paid for their child. That child's not for sale from that thing. The only person being paid are these agencies. And yes, there is a lot of red flags with agencies and issues that we all agree need, you know, reform. And it is a business. And so that is an issue inherently because businesses, the whole goal is to make money. So when you're dealing with children, there's going to be issues. But the reason why they're being paid is for the services of caring for the child in the meantime and making that situation happen, which does cost money. So there is, you know, it makes more sense when you're what you're paying for, but you're not actually paying for the child. The parent is not being paid to give their child to somebody else. So that's one of the big differences too. But I always say with adoption, the entire intent is to mend a broken situation. And with surrogacy, you are creating a broken situation. And so that massive difference. And that's why it's inherently wrong versus adoption, where your heart and your intention is to save the child, to help the child, give the child its best chance at life, versus setting them up for life of trauma and issues that we know happen.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better.
Exactly. Do you have anything to add to that, Jess?
I think Sam just like really tackled it. I guess the only thing I would say is it gives the mother the choice of life, right? We talk a lot about life and how important that is. In a situation in which a mother could have chosen abortion, she is instead choosing life for her child, and whether or not she can parent her child once she's given her child life, at least she did choose life for her child. In the instance of surrogacy, the child hasn't even been created when the talk of creating the child has begun, right?
Yeah.
There are backdoor dealings, there's money being exchanged, child's not even in the picture yet, right? It is only after these things have been agreed to that these scientists go into a lab to start creating human life, start playing the role of God. Yeah. The situation, while the outcomes might look similar, could not be more different.
Exactly. One of the things in chat that Brendan brought up is, I wonder if the buying family hides the child's early years, i.e. this part of the child's life.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think I understand the question.
I wonder if the buying family hides the child's early years, i.e. this part of the child's life. Like what?
Yeah. No, I've definitely seen cases. I wouldn't know stats on it, but I've definitely seen situations where a lot of kids, they don't know that they were IVF or surrogacy babies until later in life. I've even, Ali Seki had some guests on her show. Gosh, I wish I knew her name, but if you look up Ali Seki surrogacy or IVF, you probably would find it pretty quickly. And she had a guest on her show who said she grew up always feeling not connected to her parents and out of place and something's off, and she didn't know what it was. And then when she was an adult, her parents, actually, I don't even think her parents told her directly. I think she found out because she had an aunt who told her that she was created through IVF. And so her mom wasn't her bio mom. She had a different bio mom and she had no clue. And she went her whole life feeling out of place. And but it's weird that she was able to feel like something was off, even though she was raised by two people who, you know, said they loved her, but she said they never had that connection. And so I think a lot of parents, it's a hard conversation to have. And some parents don't even see it being worthwhile because to them, there is no ethical issue. You know, to them, it's like, we wanted you and we created you and we love you. So why do you need to know all these details about how you were created, as if the biology doesn't matter? But we as human beings, that's part of our, and we have this inherent need to be known. That's how God created us. It's, you know, it comes from God's inherent need to be known. And so it is questions that most people ask: who am I? Where do I come from? You know, they want to know their history and their ancestors. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's very important for a usual person's development throughout life to know that information. So it's sad to see some kids, you know, not discovering that later in life or not knowing. So, and especially with surrogacy, because like, you know, you have to be the one to tell your child the reason why you were separated from your mom is because I paid for that to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you do feel any trauma surrounding that, like, I don't want to be the one to tell you, because then you'll be upset with me and you'll blame me because it was, you know, I literally planned for this to happen.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of parents, it's just, maybe they didn't think that far down the road.
Especially with the, like, I can only imagine how traumatizing that must, I mean, in a way I can kind of understand it because of visa issues and having to be left at a foreign country, but that's neither here nor there right now. basically, the differentiation between the self and the mom doesn't come into play until, you know, far after the fourth trimester. And so it must feel, you know, immediately from when you're fresh into this world, like you're missing part of yourself. Just psychologically speaking.
We have studies, years and years of studies that just prove the importance of the relationship between a child and I don't even want to say birth mother, just mother, you know, while they're developing in the womb, and how the connection between the mother and the child in the womb actually contributes to healthy development. And even if the mom is stressed and upset the entire pregnancy, that changes the chemistry in the brain of the child who is developing. You know, there is a deep connection between the two, especially at birth. When you are born, the first person you're looking for is that person you've known for 9 months, the only person you've known for all these years, the person who you've heard her heartbeat, you've heard her voice, you've heard her sing, you've heard her talk to you. That's the person that you want and you have this biological urge for. And that's just how it's meant to be, because that's the point of a mother, is to care for you in your most weak state, you know, and this is when you need your mom the most. And so you go to her for being, you know, for food and for comfort and for care and safety and protection. And so, yes, we know that separating a mother from her child at birth causes a lifetime of issues. And that doesn't always mean that, like, you know, right from the start. It literally could be things that start to creep up later in life, but it affects your biology, affects your brain, affects your mental health, affects a lot of things. And so we know these things.
And it affects the moms too. Like, let's not forget that these women who are carrying these children carry the children forever, right? The genetic code from the children they carried in their wombs is left in their bodies, that will be a part of their immune support system for the rest of their lives. There's a reason there is such a deep connection both ways, not just the child to the mother, but the mother to the child. And that child's been removed from them forever.
Yeah.
And we see that with adoption, and we see that with abortion, and we see that with any separation of the mother and child, whether that's, you know, miscarriage, whether it's death or just actual physical separation. We see that with women, where it's a psychological, mental issue that they struggle with sometimes for the rest of their lives, often for the rest of their lives. Because the phrase that I always say on the abortion side is, a mother never forgets her child, and she doesn't. I've given birth twice. It's just impossible. Like, at all times, there's this tab in the back of my mind saying, okay, I know my kids are safe right now. I know they're being taken care of. I know where they're at. I know all their needs are being met. And so if something's off with that, and you have this tab in the back of your head that says, like, where are my kids? Are they safe? Are they being taken care of? Who's raising them? Or, you know, or if they're no longer with you because they passed away, something's off, you know, in your mind and in your heart. And so a mother never forgets her child. And so when you create these situations, that is an inherent, I'll go as far as to say evil. That's an inherent evil that you're putting on yourself. And I'm not saying that every person involved is evil inherently. I'm just saying the process of planning and creating situations that don't need to be created. That's what the conversation needs to be about.
Exactly. Like, there's a reason why there's a natural order of things, and that idealized natural order is because of the fact that, like, God created the entire process from, you know, womb to tomb, the whole entire thing, for a reason, for the betterment of humanity. Like, there's literally a reason for every single process of it, and whether we understand absolutely every single aspect of it, you know, scientifically or psychologically or sociologically, it all kind of comes down to, at the end of the day, children deserve to be with their parents. Now, there are some, you know, tricky situations, such as embryo adoption. What really is that? And
Just embryo adoption is tough because on the one hand you have these couples who have done IVF, have put souls on ice, they're in the freezer, and for one reason or another they've decided not to use them, quote unquote. And so I guess a couple of things could happen. They could be destroyed, right? Murdered. They could be used for science experimentation, or they can be adopted by another couple. This is a really tough one because there's really no good outcome, right?
Yeah.
The child has already been created. They're being removed from their biological parents. That is just like such a tough situation. It's flabbergasting that it even arises.
Yeah, I always just go, I took a long time to kind of form my opinion about this because IVF and surrogacy are topics that I really wasn't educated on until probably a couple of years ago. And a lot of people ask about that, the adoption, the embryo adoption, and should we be doing this? I mean, there are millions of embryos that are just sitting there frozen. There are embryos that have been frozen for 30 years, 40 years, that are older than us.
A whole generation on ice. It's
whole
just
generation
horrific.
On ice. It's wild.
That's terrifying.
There's even siblings that I've seen online, like post videos saying like, I feel weird because my parents told me that I was an IVF baby and that I have like three siblings that are frozen and I've considered taking them myself and growing my sibling in me. And like the craziest.
Like what world do we live in that we put people in this situation in which they have to adopt their own siblings and grow them in their own womb?
They feel the trauma. They feel the trauma of why me? Why was I selected? What about them? What about, you know, who they could have been, who I could have grown up with? You know, I think I'm one of seven kids. And obviously because I know them, but even if I, it's like this idea of like, my siblings and how special each and every one of them are to me and unique each and every one of them are to me. My family would not be complete if one of them was missing, not if one, you know, and again, I have seven. So it's really, really a sad situation. So the way I stand on embryo adoption is it really goes back to the rights of the child. And the first and foremost right is the right to life. The children are alive. And so obviously it's not ideal to be switching around their parents and doing all these things, but they are here, they are alive. So the best case scenario is honoring their right to life and not killing them. And so that's where I stand on it. But I also always caveat with, we should be trying to get these children safe and living, and they're living already, but you know, in these situations, but
fully developed and it's
come to fruition
cared for and out of freezers but while we are doing that and promoting that, we also need to be promoting the shutdown of this industry, because if we are, you know, having a couple thousand, 100,000, whatever amount of people we can getting to adopt these children, first of all, it's going to be years and years and years and years before we can even take care of all these embryos. I mean ridiculous. There's millions. So who knows?
If we shut down IVF today, it would take decades before all of these children could be adopted out.
Could be homed. Yeah. And so it's, so we have to be shutting down this industry at the same time, because it just works against you if you're trying to get these kids adopted while, you know, every single year you're adding a million or more. And so it's, you have to, I think it's a two in one. You have to be doing both at the same time.
Absolutely.
But it is just a tragic situation that we as humans just put ourselves in for no reason. You know, again, the reason is people want children, and that inherent want for children is not evil. You know, there are people who I'm friends with who are IVF babies, surrogacy babies. There's friends of mine who have done surrogacy, done IVF. Mm-hmm. They're not evil people. The need for the desire for a child. But a lot of people are uneducated and don't think about the ethics from the child's perspective and from the rights of the child. And when you start to look at it from that angle, it really puts it in a new light. So
I totally agree. I think it's these industries, just like the abortion industry, who are preying on the fears and desires of the parents involved. If these doctors weren't allowed to perform IVF, or surrogacy or whatever it is, or abortion or any of the things that they're doing to prey on the hopes and desires of these people, they wouldn't choose it because they're specifically targeting these people who are in the worst situations, be it scared to have a child, scared they can't have a child and feel desperate. It's just cruel.
Absolutely. Now, just from a chat's talking about this right now, would it be incestuous to, I know this is kind of pulling on a thread and going out on a limb here, but would it be incestuous to adopt your frozen embryo, like IVF siblings, carry them and become their...
Okay, yeah. I don't really know the definition of like incest, but my mind immediately goes to relations with a family member. So I don't think so, because you're not like doing anything with that child. God, hope.
Yeah. But,
so no, I don't think that it's an incest thing. But there might be some biological issues that come along with it. Again, when you play with the science of human biology, right, and you take it out of its the place that God formed it in, and it has this process that he had in mind for us, I just feel like there's a lot of things that come into play that, you know, as humans might surpass our knowledge. But I wouldn't consider it any kind of incest. Right. So
there's a reason that the implantation of IVF is not a high rate to begin with. That's why they take out so many eggs, create so many embryos with the hope of even just one implanting, because you are removing what God designed from its original intention. Of course, you're going to mess with stuff, right? And so when you're trying to reinsert it, I guess, back into its natural, it's not natural at this point. So of course things are going to go wrong, whether it's with your sibling, not sibling, somebody else. It's all messed up at this point.
Yeah. Well said. I think I can understand where chat's coming from with that kind of gray area, because of the natural way it would take to carry your sibling. But
it's all weird. We get
it's all weird. It's like, don't back me, weird. Says here, God didn't intend for any of this.
Yeah. Exactly. Children having their siblings, like children raising their siblings and growing them inside of them. It's all, again, it's what a weird future we live in. Like, what a weird, deluded, just crazy.
I feel like we're living in a Neil Schusterman novel, honestly.
It feels like it. It feels like it. We've come so far in the wrong direction. And it's a scary world we live in. But hopefully the pendulum will swing the other way. You know, maybe we'll start to like roll things back. I mean, Roe was overturned. I know that's still not accomplishing everything we're wanting it to yet.
But it's a good step.
A lot more work. It is a good step. You know, it's better than taking it the other way, which is like full on abortion up till birth everywhere nationwide. So we're going in a direction. We'll see.
Right.
Exactly. Now, kind of talking about abortion, what does IVF and surrogacy have to do with abortion? I know we kind of briefly touched on this last time, but for those who might not have seen it.
So basically, multiple things, but the chances of your child surviving surrogacy and IVF are 7%. So there is a 93% chance. Or higher. I mean, that's the low rate. I think the high rate was 97% chance that child will not survive this process, whether they're purposefully killed or they die naturally because it's an unsafe process. So, I mean, that is millions and millions and millions of children being created on purpose, going through a very dangerous process and being killed on purpose or dying. So that's the reality of what we're dealing with, even though they try to make it look like all sunshines and butterflies from the outside, because that's what industries do to sell you on it. But then also, even if that child is growing in the womb and everything seems to be going well, if you had inserted 3 embryos and all 3 are growing and the mom only wants 2 kids or 1 kid, then they will abort the sibling or yeah. both siblings or whatever the situation is. Or if there's a disability involved, they will abort the child with the disability. I think I heard of a case pretty recently where there was a doctor and it was later term. They found out there's twins. One of the twins had a some kind of deformity or medical issue. And I don't remember if it was like life-threatening, if they were going to die or if it was just something they would have had to live with. But the parents didn't want that one and didn't want to care for that one. So they actually did a surgery and they, while in the womb, they killed one of the siblings that was like either already past viability or close to it, killed one of the siblings so that, and let the other one live. And they took out one of the siblings. And again, talk about the trauma. The twins and triplets, they know each other. They know each other in the womb, okay? They touch each other. They feel each other. They know each other. They communicate. Like, they're not – and that changes their brain and development, you know? Like, they are not themselves without their sibling. That affects their relationships and how they grow as humans. And so taking that out and killing one of them, leaving the other one in there alone, again, you can't – measure the trauma you probably are causing that sibling. So,
and this is true, like, horrible. Even for twins where one of the twins is miscarried for whatever reason and the other twin survives, like, they know, mm-hmm. you know, how mm-hmm. much worse is it to know that your parents went in and killed your twin?
Yep. Especially when it's elective. I mean, especially yep. when it was like, well, we didn't think we could handle 3 kids. That's a lot of kids. And it's like, well, you probably should have thought about that before right. creating 3 kids.
Exactly. And just for context, the CDC says that 53% of all surrogacy implantations are multiples. 53%.
Yeah. That's
and
wild.
That's twins, that's triplets, insane. Or higher.
Yep. Yeah. And a lot of the time, it depends on the contract. All contracts are different. But I think the majority of contracts in the U.S., depending on the state, have it where if the person who's not carrying the child, if the quote unquote parents who will be mm-hmm. raising the child, for any reason want you to abort, if their plans changed, if they don't want a kid anymore, if something's wrong with the kid, if they had too many kids, if their plans fell through, if they got a divorce, a million things that could come into play. And if they're like, we don't want that child anymore, they can actually force the surrogate to have an abortion, even though, you know, even if they don't want to.
Yeah.
And so that's just another way that abortion gets tied into it. It's these big industries. Again, they make lots of money. They make lots and lots and lots of money off exactly. of selling, buying, killing children. So it's pretty exactly. horrific.
It's absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like even just one like piece of that, like one atom of that is just so horrifying that we can see that God didn't intend it. But then looking at all of the outer, like the branches out of it that are just all of the fractures in society that it creates, all of the, you know, being born with survivor's guilt, being, you know, literally so much of it. It's truly mind-boggling. And then with the way the industry is, how it's even, you know, kind of incorporated in sex trafficking for getting surrogates to the states for more women, you know, to carry children. It's
yeah.
Nobody talks about the human trafficking part that comes underneath surrogacy. But we forget that someone has to be the, as the CDC calls, the gestational carrier. Well, how are you going to find someone who's willing to let you use their body to carry a child they don't even get to keep,
yeah.
right?
Exactly.
How do you find a person who's willing to do that? I doubt your best friend's going to do it. Doubt your yeah. sister's going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So they go through all of these insane hoops. I don't even know how any of it's legal, honestly.
I've heard that there's like Facebook groups where like you can try to find local ones because like they advertise themselves, because a lot of the times I mean high rates, it is poor women that this is yeah. their career choice, you know, for a few years while they can. Where it's they're like desperate. A
twisted
they are
sort
desperate.
Of OnlyFans.
Yes, yeah. It's exactly. It's mothers who, you know, they have four kids of their own. They're hard on times. They don't know what else to do. And, you know, walking around pregnant for them is not a big, you know, people who sign up to be surrogates usually don't have a bunch of medical issues. And so yeah. they usually have easy pregnancies and they're willing mm-hmm. to like be pregnant again. And so they can still be taking care of their kids, but getting paid on the side to be helping to produce another one. So you're taking advantage of these women who are in these situations where they're just desperate for money and they're willing to literally sell their bodies and rent out their wombs. So that way you can have your child, and, you know, no one wants to talk about all these rich celebrities and these rich people using poor women. Like, how dystopian, like,
exactly.
No one wants to bring up.
You want to talk about the real Handmaid's Tale? Let's talk about the real Handmaid's
yes.
Tale here.
Yes.
Like, yes. Sexual men being like, you know what? Never been a big fan of women, but you know what women can be used for? Those good wombs. You know, we want to look like a normal yeah. family in some context. So let's have kids. And
exactly. Yeah, and the fact that like Paris Hilton just came out and said that, oh, I wore, you know, a fake baby bump just so that it could feel real. It's like, fun fact, if you actually had your own kid instead of made some poor non-elite carrier, then it would be real.
And wasn't she the one, I'm pretty sure it was Paris Hilton, who I think she had so many embryos and she had like 19 boys. She kept making boy embryos and she wanted yes. a girl. So she has like 19 little boys frozen just sitting. And you know yeah. that she's not going to be like letting anybody else. I mean, she's a celebrity. It's not like she's going to let somebody, you know, adopt those children.
Oh, no, she would sell those children in a heartbeat.
I don't know. Maybe. But I feel like as a celebrity, you wouldn't want somebody else raising your kids.
Especially
maybe
when
do.
It comes to
know.
Like grab like the Hilton fortune when they like grow up. And
that's
find
what I mean.
Out.
Like you have to think about like, yeah. And you're like giving fame to somebody, because the type of person who's like, you know what baby I want? Paris Hilton's baby. The type of person who goes out of their way to pay extra money for Paris Hilton's baby is the type of person yeah. who will exploit that child so fast. They will have a YouTube yep. channel.
I feel
and
like
make
I'm gonna
a
be
show
sick.
About
this
it.
Is awful.
Yeah.
It's literally, again, it's just dystopian. It's insane to me. And, you know, I was listening to some lawyer who was giving a speech about how awful this is. And from a lawyer's perspective, like they specifically dealt in this realm mm-hmm. and the amount of cases, because divorce rates are high. And so you have so many couples, and divorce rates are higher for couples who have a hard time conceiving. You know, mm-hmm. that's a very stressful thing to be going through for obvious reasons. And so that added stress, sometimes it's just too much for a marriage. Not always, but, you know, for yeah. some. And so they deal with so many cases of, you know, oh, we have these frozen embryos and my wife says she wants to kill them because, you know, she doesn't want somebody else raising her kids, but they're my kids too. And I want them. I don't want them to die, but I want to put them in my new girlfriend because I'm about to get married to this woman and we're super happy.
Oh
and
my gosh.
Now I'm older and I don't want to make more kids, or I can't because I had these issues, but I have these embryos. And like literally just legal after legal situation of these kids already dealing with their parents being divorced before exactly. they're even like 3 weeks old,
yeah.
but they are 3 weeks old because they're frozen. It's so complicated and yeah. insane.
Yeah. It is and going insane. Kind of like to that point too, I remember like it might have been a couple years ago now, it might not be a couple months ago anymore, but like recently I know that Nick Jonas and his wife were talking about how they just couldn't make the schedules work. They just couldn't, you know, be in the same area in the same country when they were like trying to conceive. And it's like, okay, if you can't manage to do that part of it, how do you think you're actually going to parent your children?
Yeah. Again, you're just, it's this thing of like splitting the mother into three. And so that's like one of the biggest issues with surrogacy. So you have a bio mom, you have the birth mother, and then you have the caretaker. And people just take advantage of the role of mother and tear it into whatever is the most convenient for them, instead of seeing the way that God designed it to be, which is the healthiest for the child. and the child has a right to. And again, it's all for the convenience of parents. No, it's really tragic.
I think one of the things parents have to realize is children aren't accessories. They're not accessories to your life. They're not little things for your Instagram. They're people, and they deserve to be treated like people. They're unique and precious life. They're not just there for your convenience. And as someone who struggled with infertility for a very, very, very long time, I get it. I get being in that place where you feel desperate to have kids. But you don't have to take this back road into having kids. You don't have to take this road that leads you down ethical obscurities and into this chaos. Just do what's right.
No, and it's so hard. I don't even blame parents who go through it for the most part, because again, it's just one of those things we grew up with hearing about, but we didn't hear about the actual process or the ethical questions behind it. It was just IVF. It's beautiful. It helps make families babies. And what a beautiful thing that is, you know? And so it just breaks my heart, because like so many people got into it and have created children and now are kind of grappling with these questions that they never really considered before. And these conversations they have to have with their kids. And one thing that you hear a lot as somebody who's anti-IVF and anti-surrogacy is, why do you hate my child? They wouldn't be alive today if I wasn't able to do IVF. And it's like, it is the furthest thing from the truth. The reason why we are so against it is because we love your child. And I'm so glad they were able to survive that dangerous process that they've been through. And I pray for their hearts and their mental health and the things that they have to grapple with, as far as who their bio mom is, who their bio dad is, and dealing with those kind of situations. It's because I care about those kids that I speak up and say, can we stop making these situations happen? And I hate using this example because immediately people will try to twist it, but it's like they don't grasp the difference between hating a process of conceiving a child versus hating the child. And there is a massive difference. And the only way I know how to really explain it is, like, obviously, because we are all on the same page of rape is evil, or should I say grape? I don't know.
I think you can say the real thing on Rumble. Okay.
I'll just call it SA, just so we know. It's evil. It's horrible. It's bad. It's illegal, as it should be. Whoever does that, honestly, I say death penalty, but I know, you know, some people are against that too. But same the page. Child created from that is made in the image of God, should be protected, should be valued. It's just as valuable as you and me, who were lucky to have parents who created us, you know, on purpose or even on accident, you know, but they are just as valuable as the rest of us. And you can separate the two of how they were conceived. And again, even if there's less extreme situations, no one wants a 15-year-old girl getting pregnant. Obviously, the way that she was conceived, the child was conceived in that situation, is not ideal. We don't like it. We try to prevent it. But if a child is conceived through that, we value the child, we protect the child, we love the child, we're so glad the child's here, and we wouldn't say otherwise. And so it's that same situation of being able to separate the two. Once the child is created, they're the most utmost importance, and they're the center of this conversation. But that doesn't stop us from trying to prevent these traumatic situations from happening before those other children are created, because before they're created, we're not talking about anybody, you know, we're not attacking anybody. They don't exist. So
exactly. Like, exactly.
That's the difference.
Well put. Now, are there any long-term health risks associated with IVF or surrogacy for women or for children?
Oh, gosh. The long-term health risks of just the process of IVF. I think we kind of touched on this on our last panel. Mm-hmm. But all of the chemicals that are put into your body have very tough ramifications. You have things like you're more susceptible to ovarian cancer, thyroid cancer. You've just injected your body with this wealth of hormones that it wasn't producing naturally. So just for the woman having to undergo the process of IVF is very hard and taxing on the body and leaves her with long-term health effects that she won't recover from.
And most of the time she has to do that process multiple times to get a child because that IVF process is so difficult and the chances of you producing a child from it are so low that you have to do 2 rounds, 3 rounds, 4. You know, there's, I don't even know if there is a limit. I'm sure there's some limit. I just don't know what it is, but you can definitely do multiple rounds of trying to produce the child. So all of those chemicals, I'm sure, add up. And then there's also super, super high rates. One of death for the child. So that's a pretty big health risk. That'll do it. but there's also super high rates of deformities and other lifelong issues that they're dealing with. Now, a lot of that gets aborted. A lot of that we don't see because they don't even make it to term because somebody just offs them because of those reasons, their disabilities and deformities or whatever issues that they might have. But even born children still sometimes suffer with issues because of it. And then that doesn't even cover, which you've already kind of gone over, so I won't get into. But again, all the emotional trauma and mental illnesses that the mother, the surrogate, and the child all have to experience. And I'm sure the father, I mean, that's the last thing they're going to look into. But raising a child that you created on purpose that might not even be your child, you might not even be biologically related to that, you might have some kind of dealings with that in some way, if it's like your wife's kid but not yours. And again, this, we're not talking about like adoption, that's different. You're going in there trying to heal a situation versus like this is what you've produced on purpose. And so you know, that's something that I'm sure we will never do studies on.
Which is really, really tragic.
It really is.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, but, and I know people are going to hate me for saying it, but men, they do get the short end of the stick a lot of the time when it comes to anything about reproduction, because
they absolutely do.
Yeah. It's like, shut up. You're not the one growing this child. You get no say. And so whether that's abortion, whether that's through pregnancy choices, whether that's IVF, and it's just not fair. I'm sorry. They are a father. They are also the child. They're 100% the child's parent, just like you're 100% the child's parent. Again, not talking about situations where they're not, but yeah. And so they do deserve a say, and we should be listening to men on these cases as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Now, do you want to take things over from here, Jess?
So I think we can all agree surrogacy is horrible, terrible, a dystopian nightmare. But that dystopian nightmare has only gotten worse, as we've seen with the advent of AI. And I'm sure it won't be long now before they create artificial wombs. I don't know how to add this to the screen. Okay, there we go.
There you go.
Let me know.
Introducing Ectolife, the world's first artificial womb facility, powered entirely by renewable energy. Ectolife allows infertile couple to conceive a baby and become the true biological parents of their own offspring. It's a perfect solution for women who had their uterus surgically removed due to cancer or other complications. With Ectolife, premature births and C-sections will be a thing of the past. Ectolife is designed to help countries that are suffering from severe population decline, including Japan, Bulgaria, South Korea, and many others. The facility features 75 highly equipped labs. Each state-of-the-art lab can accommodate up to 400 growth pods or artificial wombs. Every pod is designed to replicate the exact conditions that exist inside the mother's uterus. A single building can incubate up to 30,000 lab-grown babies per year. Ectolife allows your baby to develop in an infection-free environment. The pods are made of materials that prevent germs from sticking to their surfaces. Every growth pod features sensors that can monitor your baby's vital signs, including heartbeat, temperature, blood pressure, breathing rate, and oxygen saturation. The artificial intelligence-based system also monitors the physical features of your baby and reports any potential genetic abnormalities. The pods are equipped with a screen that displays real-time data on the developmental progress of your baby. These data are sent directly to your phone so you can track your baby's health from the comfort of your zone. The app also provides you with a high-resolution live view of your baby's development. A special section in the app allows you to watch a time-lapse of your baby's growth and share it directly with your loved ones. Because babies can recognize language and learn new words while still in the womb, Ectolife Growth Pods feature internal speakers that play a wide range of words and music to your baby. Through the app, you can choose the playlist that your baby listens to. You can also directly sing to your baby and make them familiar with your voice before birth. Our goal is to provide you with an intelligent offspring that truly reflects your smart choices.
So yeah, you guys get the idea. This is like kind of traumatizing. Obviously, we're not here yet. Otherwise, this is what people would be doing. But it's clear this is the goal, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that people could see my face while watching that. And now I'm like, did you just see my shock? I'm so shook. I did not know we were going to be watching that more. And I feel like I'm going to cry. That was so awful. I don't know where to start. I literally have been thinking like, okay, first of all, can we please stop saying that we're not trying to erase women when what the H was that?
Like, right?
Yeah. What was that? What was that? First of all, now women don't exist because you can't even define woman, and anyone can be a woman whenever they want. And we're going to rent wombs and the mother can just be whoever the mother wants to be. We're going to call dads moms. We're going to call whatever this is. And now we are literally just going to say, we don't need women at all. In fact, we have labs and they're way better than women. Second of all, it's like, eugenics is not knocking at the door anymore. We just gave them a phone call and said, hey, can you come over? Can you come hang out with us? We just invited them in. Okay. That is 100% eugenics. That is scary as heck. And I'm sorry. I'm trying not to like curse.
Go for it. Let it
go
all
for
out.
It. Let it all oh, out.
World. I'm like sweating. I just, again, as a mom who grew a baby, two babies, speechless. That's not healthy.
No.
That's what I should just start with. That is never going to be healthy. And the last thing I will say, because I need to hear your takes on it while I just recoup a little.
Yes.
Is believe Lord Jesus Christ. Please come back before that happens. Please. Because if I have to live in a world where that exists, I can't say what I'm going to do because this is being recorded.
For legal reasons, this is a joke.
For legal reasons, none of this is true. But also, if I ever am put in jail, you will know why. Because I will not stand for this. No, no, no. We will not. That won't be happening. That's where my mind's going right now. Just denial. That's not happening. That's impossible. Okay.
Also, as a host and your friend, I feel like, retrospectively, I probably should have warned you, and I truly apologize to God, but I'm also living for your live reaction because every single one of those is a yes, ma'am.
It's so funny. I am in the stage of life of like still semi-postpartum where me and my husband talk about this often. I purposely will avoid anything I know I can't handle emotionally right now. So like on Twitter, if someone's like, watch this person die, I'm like, nope, scroll. Don't even need to know. I don't care. Yeah. Like I care, but I can hear about something happening without seeing it.
Exactly.
And so like that was just diving right in, which is okay. Which is okay. I have to go back and watch my face. While watching that, I didn't know people could see it, so
I think like, they were too busy watching the horror show that was that Matrix future we're all staring right in the face.
And if it helps, my face has been getting me in trouble for like 3 decades.
Yeah.
So I probably was like accidentally cursing underneath my breath or something and like making insane faces.
A whirlwind that was. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to just cool down a little. You guys go ahead and talk about your thoughts.
We got you, girl. Jess, would you like to, or?
Yeah. So this is just another step in dehumanizing the human. Sam rightfully brought up eugenics. This is eugenics. This is the giver. This is the future Lois Lowrie was telling us about, and that we need to recognize for what it is, right? We've gotten to this place where we are commodifying the human spirit, and it's not okay. I mean, it's really not okay. We're destroying women. We're destroying all of human life. We're making each other accessories and playing The Sims. It's terrible.
Yeah. It's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. It's like, oh, you know, you don't have to actually go out there and make your baby. You don't even have to like do the marital act with your husband to do that. You don't even have to like take 9 months and maybe have to do like a little bed rest. You don't have to do any of that. You just, if like, if you feel like it, you can like talk to it while it's growing. Like, if you feel like it, like, you can, but, like, don't worry, like, we have robots that will, like, talk to your baby for you, so, like, it's fine. It'll, like, teach it Mandarin. It's cool, guys. It's fine.
It's like, if the baby doesn't have the hair and eye color you want, eject pod.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so funny. Okay, one more rant.
Go for it.
These are the same people, same industry, same politicians that push abortion and say, it's not alive in your womb. It's a clump of cells. Oh, okay. Well, now we have this clear container and you're promising me that this entire time I get to watch my baby grow and watch its face and it hears my voice and all these things that you're pushing on me. It's like, oh, this is perfect for women who can't have, and it's like, then stop saying it's not a baby and being fine with the murder of these children before birth. Like, it's so weird to pretend to be so pro-life in the sense of like, we are creating this life and we are nurturing these children. And then you're the same person who's like, but also we murder the children on this end. And like, again, you know, like you said, eject pod, like the minute someone's not happy, it's like, this baby's not going to make us as much money as we thought. These people are backing out. So, well, we don't need them anymore. So we'll just, and how many kids are going to be created in surplus? Because again, these are industries that just want to make money. And there's only so many people who will want a lab grown child. So like, they're going to be making these babies. Okay.
And like, two things to add on to that. Like, one of them was what I was thinking about more in like the surrogacy argument, because I see, honestly, girl, I see a lot of what you go through, and I don't know how you do it so graciously. Like, I can tell.
The most gracious reaction.
But like, on Twitter, like, the, you know, because she is pro-life Sam, if you guys don't already follow her, you absolutely need to, like, must follow. Anytime I, like, created, like, a new Instagram or a new whatever, I was like, first top 5 follow. Absolutely.
That's so nice.
You do incredible work. But, so I always see you getting into like these, you know, conversations and sometimes like debates and whatnot. And a lot of like what I've been tending to see is women being like, oh, well, pregnancy is dangerous. And it's like, okay, so if this is the hill that you're dying on, or if this is the hill that rather, you know, you're killing your child on because, oh, pregnancy is dangerous. Okay, then why is it okay for you to rent out someone else's womb who's less fortunate than you to experience these, you know, dangers? And that's not to say that every pregnancy is easy breezy and like super healthy and like the best thing ever. Like, right. I don't think a single one of my friends has ever not had massive, like really bad morning sickness and like all sorts of things that are genuine struggles of motherhood, not reasons to kill your child, struggles of motherhood, part of the self-sacrificing spirit and nurturing spirit that you go through beforehand. But it's like, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You're literally doing the splits. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and just as a mom, like, who's still kind of, like, in the thick of it with, like, very young children, one thing that I see so much on TikTok and all these other things is, like, moms and parents in general basically trying to source out big parts of parenting. And I know this, again, this might be controversial, but like, for example, I see so many people where it's like, they hire people to come and do all the night shifts, and they hire people to like, or they immediately want to go back to work. Like they have this like newborn, they're like, well, there's a daycare, I just really want to go back to work. And it's really hard raising a newborn. And you know, one thing that I really do believe is that the struggles that you experience during pregnancy and after, and when you're taking care of these young children, that is a huge bonding experience, and like the self-sacrifice of yourself, and it grows you as a person, and it connects you to that child in so many deep levels of like, the things that I've had to deny myself of for you are a blessing, because I get to do that. And that makes me realize how important you are to me, that like, I am massively sleep deprived. I, you know, I'm emotional, I'm hormonal, all these things, but it's like, but for who else? No one. For my child? Absolutely. For, you know, for my husband, for my family? Absolutely. Because that's what we do. We deny ourselves for the good of the people that we love and that we care about. My little sweet kitty. Oh my gosh.
He's so talking. Get him a mic.
Tell him.
No, do you have any comments? No.
Thank you. I appreciate your support in that.
He agrees with you.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I feel like when you source that out to somebody else, you miss out, even though you see it as such a negative thing. I think it's a beautiful thing in some weird way. And so I feel like you miss out on this growth opportunity to learn patience and self-sacrifice and, you know, just how to handle these extremely difficult situations. And I don't know, I feel like it's the same with that.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's bad, I guess. And that's what I told myself during pregnancy, when you're mentally preparing for birth. You know, I told myself so many times, it is going to be painful, it's going to be hard, but that doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean something's wrong. It doesn't mean I'm dying. And again, things can go wrong, but I'm just talking about just the general, if everything goes right, it's still difficult. And because something's difficult doesn't mean it's bad. And most times, if it is, if there's some blessing to be found within there. So,
yeah. I think as a society, we've forgotten that suffering is sanctifying.
Yeah.
It's important to go through hard things so you can grow through them.
Yep. Yeah. Being like, well, I'm just going to put my baby in the lab and let him grow there. So that way I can just keep living my life however I want to live it. And then whenever I'm ready for my baby to come home, they're fully grown and they probably speak three languages.
Right. Well, and that's the next step, right? It's like they'll grow the artificial baby for you in the artificial womb. But the next step is they're going to grow it until it knows everything in the pod and comes out a perfect soldier or whatever they want. I don't know.
Katie Faust talked about this on like one of her other podcasts that I saw. She's just incredible. And she talks about a lot of the surrogacy stuff. So if you don't, you know, follow that, highly recommend it. But she had the situation where she used to work in other countries and deal with like adoption stuff. And so she said there was a situation where she went to, I don't know where, somewhere, I think maybe in China. And she walked into this, what's it called when it's like a home for kids, but we don't have them here. We have the foster care system. An orphanage. She walked into basically like an orphanage, and she said there was a baby section, and there was like a whole bunch of babies all swaddled. And she noticed the weirdest thing when she walked into the room. They were all awake, but they were just silent and they were just sitting there. And so she was like, oh, that they seem to have everything under control here. This seems like, you know, like, oh, they're at peace. But then she went and she, as any woman would do, you walk in, you see a baby and you want to hold it. So she picks up the baby and she's holding it and she's playing with it. And she's, you know, doing the business that she was there to do. And then when she goes to put the baby down, he immediately starts like wailing, like the kind of wail, like a mom knows that there's different types of cries. And this is like something's wrong wailing. And so she picks it back up and she starts comforting it. And then she puts it back down and then it's wailing, wailing. And then she realized, the reason why they're not crying is because nobody picks them up. Yeah, they've gotten so used to being abandoned and not loved and not cared for. And again, we are human beings. We're created for purpose through God. And, you know, there's a ideal way that we should be living. And that ideal way includes a loving mother and father in a marriage who adore you and who would die for you and fight for you and care for your needs and pick you up when you're sad and feed you and, you know, develop you in the womb and feel every tick and, you know, go through all those milestones. I got to see my baby smile in the womb today. I got to feel their hiccups. That is part of the human experience. And we are becoming so disconnected from God that we are just trying to like not be human beings anymore. What in the robot world are we trying to do by putting babies in a factory? Like, oh my word. You are crazy. Okay. I'm going to drop it again. I go on rants, but it's like,
I love your rants.
I just want to find these people who contributed to this idea and this business and this situation and like literally just talk to these people and be like, what brain? Who are you? Who are you and why are you crazy? That's what I want to know. You need to be in a psych ward. If anybody in my life had come to me and said, I have this brilliant idea, we should be growing babies in factories, I would be like, okay, let me call your mom and dad. They need to come get you, even if you're like 4 years old. Like,
right.
Something's wrong with you. They're babies. Okay. We don't kill them. Yeah. We don't sell them. We don't buy them. And we don't grow them in labs. It's really not that difficult.
So, exactly.
Anyway, what a weird world.
Exactly. And I mean, like, speaking of that, it kind of reminds me, Justin and I were talking a little bit before the show about this, how on Grey's Anatomy, when this kind of first variation came about, when it started off, they treated the dad, who was also a doctor there. He was like the father of two of the doctors that were on the show. Sorry, it's been a while. It got like super aborted, like super like abortion-y, so I stopped watching it and everything, but back in the day. And they like treated him like he was like mentally ill. And because of this idea, and now it's like, oh yeah, so are you gonna like pre-order your kid? It's gonna be blonde.
Oh, they're like, gonna be Amazon delivered.
Oh
yeah, I'm done. I can't
literally click of a button, you're going to be customizing your child. You're gonna be customizing. They already do this with IVF. I know people think
I'm playing character creator some video games.
Oh my gosh, it's literally the same. It's gonna be, you know, what are those things called, like Build-A-Bear?
Yes. Oh.
Yes,
build a baby.
You want a baby? There's an app for that.
Oh my gosh. And again, like, we're talking about it and we're laughing, but it's because it's a coping mechanism.
Yes, right.
I don't laugh, I would weep.
Yes,
because I'm literally like, you know, I was up with my baby at like 3 a.m. and he was just not sleeping, and that's out of character for him right now. Mm-hmm. And he was like arching his back, and as a mom, you're like Googling, why is my baby arching his back? And that usually means they have gas problem. And it's like all these things as a parent that like your brain is just so focused on. And then like finally he feels better, and I'm just holding him, and like all these hormones are rushing, this connection that we have. Mm-hmm. And you know, today I was like scrolling through TikTok and I saw this awful video of these parents who lost their baby. And I literally called my husband crying and sobbing and being like, we're so lucky. I know that it's hard, but we are so blessed. We are so, so, so blessed because our child is alive and healthy and in our arms. And as crazy as our child can be and as hard as it can be sometimes, like, what a blessing we have. And again, you just miss out on all these human aspects of life when you try to commodify, especially children. Why are children the brunt of these awful experiments? Why children? You know, gosh, if there was whoever's creating these ideas, you go first, okay? Let's put you in the lab first, see how you do for 9 months. And if it works out, maybe we'll think about it. You know, it's like, it's not your life. It's not your life that you are doing this to. And so how easy? You're just the one who's making money off of it. You would just find these parents who are so desperate to feel that love of a child that they will do anything without thinking of the ramifications. And what a mess. But, and you know, last such a ranter.
I love it.
There's a Grey's Anatomy episode where they had these parents who who had a child that had some genetic issues. And so they created another child, and they wanted to deliver that child early because the first child really needed, like a lung or some kind of thing. And they wanted to find the perfect match. Mm-hmm. And the best match would be a sibling or relative. So they created the child, the second child, basically for the organs or the blood or the something to help their first child, because they were so desperate to care for their first child. Like, who wants their child to die?
That's how the whole my sister's keeper.
Yes. And how that's exactly the situation. I'm sure that's what it was like off of, but it's like, how many of those children in those labs are going to be grown because parents are so desperate to have a relative, you know, be the safety for their born children, you know, of like, oh my gosh, my child, you know, one day they, how many kids are in the hospital today that like are just barely surviving and they need that? And hey,
since
I'm just gonna...
you mentioned that there, who's going to want to buy a lab grown baby? That's what it's going to be used for. It's organ harvesting.
There's an industry right there, organ harvesting. And so, again, the organ harvesting already happens with abortion, and they sell these organs and they deny it. But it's so funny. They don't. It's a whole other debate. But like, literally, it is proven in court. They've admitted it in court. Planned Parenthood sells organs and child parts, and they get away with it. And we all just kind of sit back and we see it in disbelief, but there's not much we can do. Our hands are tied. And so this is going to be a whole new industry of that. So such a, what a mess.
And a lot of like the stem cells and the different, you know, parts of the child end up in beauty products where, you know, you're like, watch it. Like you're in like a doctor's office or something. Like watching some like daytime talk show that they have on in the waiting room. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm just using baby, you know, this or that or the other thing, or, you know, insert genetic material here on my skin. That's why I look so good. And it's like, you're doing what with the what?
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons too, why it's so important to make sure that you're like really reading the ingredient labels on all of the things you use, especially with skincare. And that's why I really trust NIMI, because I know that they don't do that.
I didn't.
On faith, family, and freedom. It's paraben free and it's never tested on animals. All of these things matter so much to me, as does the fact that they source their ingredients from small American farms. NIMI Skincare loves America just as much as I do. And I know you'll love them too. That's why you should go to NIMIskincare.com and use code BASEDBABE to save 10% off today. I'm sorry, I recorded me overran you.
No, you're good. I did not expect that transition. I was so flabbergasted. I was like, wow, that was so good.
Thank you. But I know that it is getting late, so I appreciate you guys so much for coming out. Is there any last thoughts that either of you wanted to share before we get going?
I had one last thought. This topic is very, you know, like alarming and stressful and scary and like, you know, negative, but as believers, I know I'm like, I wasn't calm during this whole situation, but there is a peace, there is a calmness that comes with being a believer and knowing that like ultimately God is in control. And whether this dystopian comes to reality or whether he is here before that happens, which please let that happen. There is going to be ultimate justice done. All of these children that are being harmed and killed and destroyed and just taken advantage of, God knows those children, every single one of them. They are all created in his image, and he is going to be he's going to find justice for every single one of them. And so we just, as Christians, we can't end on a hopeless note. I will never let that happen. You know, there is always hope, and he always is in control of these kind of things. And so just want to throw that out there too, because that's something that, you know, a lot of people probably think I'm going to go to bed sweating tonight, but like, you know, again, when you're a believer, you have to be able to balance the reality of what's happening, but also know God's word and know the truth, and be able to process these things in a healthy manner. So I'll be working on that.
No, you're so right. And another way to end on a positive note is to recognize that if you're part of a family who is struggling with infertility, who is struggling to have children, you don't have to resort to these things. You've been armed with the information now. You are equipped. You can now go forward and know, okay, these things are wrong. What can I do instead to grow my family? There are lots of other options out there that are more safe, more natural. We talked about some of those on our last panel. And one of those I still encourage people to consider is foster care and adoption. Instead of creating a brand new broken situation that doesn't need to be created, you can step into a situation and provide healing instead. And I encourage people to consider that as an option rather than resorting to these methods.
Absolutely. And it's so good to see when someone who has such a heart for children and such a heart for society, you know, when they unfortunately go through that really devastating and tough process and they come out the other side armed with the information and they know what's right to do and they make the right decision and are blessing a child, just like I know you're going to be such a blessing to the little one that's coming to you in August.
Thank you. We're very excited. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. Doesn't mean we're not going to have our own things to work through. That child's going to have a lot to have to deal with still. But it's a situation in which we can step into the life of both the mother and the child and provide help instead of creating a brand new broken situation.
Exactly. Amen. Would we like to close with prayer? Send everybody off on a nice note throughout the week. Feel either one of you can.
Nose goes.
I'll do it. All right. Dear Lord, we just are thankful for this time where we can gather as friends and we can talk about these worldly situations and process them as believers and have the support and the education to be able to process them and try to find the way to give glory to you while these things are happening. We thank you for being in control and knowing that all of these children that we worry about and that we care about and that we want to protect, we know that you are the ultimate protector and you will find justice for these children. Please use us in any way, shape or form that you see fit. We are ready to do what it takes to further your kingdom and just protect those in need. And again, we are thankful. We love you. Forgive us for anything that we've been doing on the outside. And amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that beautiful prayer, Sam. And thank both of you for coming this evening. It was wonderful spending this time with you. It's wonderful spending this time with you as well, chat. Or if you're listening to this on audio platform, it was, you know, great having this conversation with you. So please make sure you guys leave a comment, like the stream, subscribe if you aren't already, and I will see you guys next week. Remember, stay based and stay blessed. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, kindly do me a favor and leave me a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast app. My podcast is available wherever you can listen, and it's also available live on Rumble on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern. I hope you can join us in whatever format works best for you. Please tell somebody that you care about this episode so that I can spread my work and encourage more people. And remember, stay based and stay blessed.